Genesis 11, verses 1 to 9.
Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole world.
The second reading comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under earth. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine."
Let's pray before we get into God's word. Father God, we pray that you would guide us as we reflect on your word this morning. Convict our hearts, Lord, of the times when we have gone out to serve you, but done it in our own strength. Help us to lean not on our own understanding, to lean not on our own abilities, and to lean not on our own strength, but to acknowledge that it is by grace that we have been saved, and by grace and by your strength that we serve. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If this world is going to be reached, I'm convinced that it must be done by men and women of average talent. These aren't my words. These are the words of D.L. Moody. You might know who he is. He was a famous evangelist who was blessed to be able to minister to more than 100 million people during his ministry. He was incredibly gifted at preaching, and he was incredibly blessed as a pastor. What Moody was pointing out is that being qualified to do what God has called you to do is not about being especially gifted or especially talented. It's not about being a professional at what we do. It's about being completely dependent on God and His Spirit. Because God does not call the qualified. He qualifies those he has called through his Son and through his Spirit. and he's called everyone who trusts in him to be not only a disciple, someone who continues to learn and study God's word and learn from him, but also a disciple maker. Now, I don't know about you, but being a disciple maker is a pretty daunting job. I think it's a pretty daunting job. It's not one that really comes natural to most of us and requires us to step outside of our comfort zone and to look for opportunities to share the good news of Jesus. Trouble is, many of us are introverts. Many of us find the idea of spending time with people outside of our friends and our family groups to be something that's really daunting, while others of us wrestle with a sense of inadequacy. Maybe somebody else would be better at doing that. Maybe somebody else knows more about the word or is better with words or is more qualified somehow. Maybe you wrestle with a sense of not feeling as prepared as you could be. Nevertheless, we're all called, as Ephesians 2:10 tells us, to do the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. And one of those most important works is to be disciple makers. Thankfully, in today's passage, we're being reminded that God does not call the qualified. He qualifies those he has called through his Son and through his Spirit. Now, the events that take place in these verses all took place at Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is a Jewish festival that celebrates the barley harvest just before they put in the wheat. And Pentecost actually means 50th. It's because it's 50 days. It takes place 50 days after the Passover. And so what that means is all the events that are taking place in this morning's passage are happening 50 days after Jesus was with his disciples in that upper room celebrating the Passover, or celebrating what we know as the Lord's Supper. A lot has changed for the disciples since then. Jesus was arrested, they fled, put on trial. We know Peter denied him 3 times. Jesus was crucified, and then he rose again 3 days later. Just when the disciples thought that Jesus might restore the kingdom of Israel, well, he was taken up into heaven, and they were left in Jerusalem to wait for the gift the Father would give them. And that's exactly what's going on in these verses. Around 120 believers were all together in this, obviously, a very big room. And they were sitting down, waiting for the promised Holy Spirit. By this point, it had been 10 days since Jesus was taken into heaven. 10 days of waiting for something that God would give them, but they didn't really know what. They didn't really understand the implications of what was about to happen. They're waiting in this room when all of a sudden, they heard a noise, the sound of an incredible wind, a violent wind. Primary school teachers will often tell you that on an incredibly windy day, the kids get really ratty. They get really disruptive. And I think that's because strong winds make us all feel a bit anxious. I know they can do it for me anyway. They can put us on edge as we hear incredibly strong winds blowing massive trees back and forth effortlessly. But as these believers heard what sounded like a violent wind, they must have been terrified. Because when we hear wind, well, it stays outside. But this windstorm swept into the house and filled the room where they were sitting. And if the sound of a violent wind tearing through the house wasn't scary enough, then they saw what appeared to be like tongues of fire that came down and rested on each of them. All of them, not just the apostles, but all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit And they began to speak in languages that they had never been taught, as the Spirit enabled them. This group of believers who had been waiting and wondering how they, of all people, would be able to be disciple makers of all nations, well, they were now empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak languages that they did not know previously, so that they could share the good news of Jesus in a way that was completely impossible for them in their own strength. Now, it was because it was the festival of Passover that God chose this particular time in history to pour out his Spirit on these believers. And that's because there were God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem at that time, many who had traveled more than 1,000 kilometers away to be there. And it seems at that point, between when the Holy Spirit filled the room that the believers were sitting in, somehow they made their way outside and they began to speak in languages they hadn't learnt. In those days, Greek was the common trade language. So if they had have gone outside and started speaking in Greek, it wouldn't have grabbed anybody's attention. But just think about it. If you're a long way away from home, if you're in a country where they don't speak English, for example, and you hear somebody speaking English, it grabs your attention. It would grab your attention, wouldn't it? If they were speaking in Greek, nobody would have paid any attention. But what they were hearing was the word of God. They were hearing the believers praise God in their own language, something they wouldn't have expected to hear in Jerusalem. And as the Holy Spirit empowered these believers in this miraculous way, God was reversing the consequences of Babel. We heard Amy read Genesis 11. And in Genesis 11, mankind was scattered across the face of the earth. God had instructed them to do so, but they chose to stick together. They chose to try and make a name for themselves. They chose to try and gain themselves glory instead of giving God the glory. And so God judged their rebellion by confusing their languages and causing them to be scattered over the face of the earth. Before that, they all spoke a common language and they could communicate easily. Before that, they were all God's people. After that, God confused their languages. They couldn't understand each other anymore, and every time they spoke, it sounded like babbling. And it's no surprise that in Genesis 12, that's when God calls Abraham to set a new people aside for himself. At one point, all mankind belonged to the Lord. God set aside a nation for himself. And now here at Pentecost, God is once again calling all the people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue to be his own. At Babel, their rebellion resulted in the languages of all the people being confused and everybody becoming divided. But now at Pentecost, we see God forgiving rebellion through the death of his Son, and unity being restored as the good news of Jesus is being proclaimed in the languages of all of the people. God was enabling these believers to do what they were completely unqualified to do in their own strength, as he gave them this ability at that particular time to share what God had done through Jesus in a way they simply could not have done on their own. And as the people heard the good news of Jesus being proclaimed in their own language, well, it drew an incredibly large crowd. They were all wondering what they were hearing, why they were hearing their own native tongue, their own heart language in a place they never expected to hear it. But when you think about it, the language barrier wasn't the only thing the Spirit was overcoming. There were 120 people speaking, praising God. If they were all saying the same thing in the same language, it would have been hard to understand, let alone saying it in different languages. God was enabling these God-fearing Jews from all of the nations to hear what God wanted them to hear in that moment, at that time, so that his word would go out to the nations. And as they heard these believers praising the Lord in their own languages, they were amazed at what they were hearing. And they asked each other, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hear them in our own language? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Galilee was considered to be, well, to be honest, a bit of a backwater. And the Galilean dialect, or their own little way of speaking, was considered to be hard to understand by many. And yet these men who were speaking praises to God in all of the different languages of the people were Galileans. And this caused incredible amazement amongst the crowd. And many said, what does this mean? While others, well, they made fun of them. And they said, they have had too much wine. Now, I'm no authority on the subject, but I can tell you that if somebody has had too much wine, they don't gain knowledge that they didn't have before. It's not uncommon for them to become a lot louder, but certainly not more eloquent. And they certainly don't all of a sudden know a language that they've never learnt. These people had just heard and seen God pouring out his Holy Spirit in an incredibly miraculous way. And yet, because they did not want to believe, because the Holy Spirit had not given them ears to hear and eyes to see, they refused to believe what they had seen with their own eyes and heard with their own ears. In these verses, Jesus was pouring out God's Spirit on these believers in a specific way for a specific purpose. And by doing so, he was enabling his people to do what they could never have done in their own strength. The events of this passage are a one-off event for a specific time and a specific purpose. Now, that's not to say that God couldn't do the same thing again if it was what he wanted to do. The purpose of these specific events were to establish the church in Christ's God given mission to make disciples of all nations. There was no pride. There was no place for pride among these believers. There was no sense in which some of the believers were better or more skilled at praising the Lord in this way. Because in their own strength, none of them knew these languages. None of them were able to share the good news of Jesus in this way. But through faith in Christ and dependence on his Spirit, these believers were able to begin the church's mission of making disciples of all nations. Because God does not call the qualified. He qualifies those he has called through his Son and through his Spirit. And as these God-fearing Jews went back to their own nations, well, they would have no doubt told everyone they could what they had seen and heard and about all that God had done through Jesus. And while the events of this passage are not a pattern that we're supposed to emulate, God is also called those who trust in Jesus to a mission that we cannot do in our own strength. These verses remind us how important it is for us to rely on the Holy Spirit as we serve the Lord, instead of relying on our own strength, our own skills, and our own abilities. As the believers were given the ability to speak in languages they hadn't learned, the Holy Spirit was overcoming the language barrier for many in that crowd. The Holy Spirit was also giving them ears to hear and eyes to see. The Holy Spirit was softening their hearts. In our own strength, we aren't qualified to be able to share the good news of Jesus, because none of us, even with the wisest of words, even no matter how clever we are, can convince anyone to believe in the good news by using the right phrase or by knowing just what to say at just the right time. None of us can soften the hearts of an unbeliever and give them ears to hear or eyes to see. We are only able to be effective disciple makers if God's Holy Spirit is preparing the heart of the person we're ministering to, and if God is giving us the words that He wants us to say. No one is called because they have it all together. We may not feel very confident about sharing the good news of Jesus with others. We may feel like others are far better with words than we are, or that others, well, they're able to relate to people better than we can. And that's okay, because God didn't call us because we were qualified. He didn't call us because we have skills others don't. But He does qualify and equip those He has called through His Son and through His Spirit. And so through these verses, we are being reminded that effective disciple makers trust our Savior and His Spirit to do what we cannot do in our own strength. Because if this world is going to be reached with the good news of Jesus, it must be done by men and women of average talent who are completely dependent on Christ and His Spirit for the work that He has prepared in advance for us to do. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we acknowledge that we have not always gone out to serve You completely dependent on Your Spirit. We acknowledge that we have sought to get as far as we can in our own strength first. And then when we fall flat on our face, then we come to You. Lord, we pray this morning that our first action in serving You would be prayer, that we would be completely dependent on Your Spirit, that You might make each of us effective disciple makers in our families, among our friends, in the community. Help us to do far more than what we can do in our own strength. Help us to be far more dependent on You than we would normally have ever been, so that we might see the blessings that You want to give us through Your Spirit, that we might see the growth that we long to see. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.